And as you're seated, I just encourage you to turn your Bible to the book of Romans, the book of Romans. And today we're going to look at Romans chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible, a couple options. We do have Bibles in the foyer. I encourage you to grab one and follow along. Or maybe look it up on your phone. There's apps that are available to work through the Bible. I hope you brought, maybe you brought your Bible, but just encourage you to do that. One thing that we do as a congregation is taking the Bible as the Word of God. We believe that God has a word for us, that God has a message for us. And so even as we read these things, the particular words that God gives to us are important in understanding who He is and what He's done. We've heard the message wonderfully said through the reading of Scripture and in the song. And then, but knowing that message, how do we apply it and put it together? And that's what the Bible gives to us. And so as we look at Romans chapter 6, we see one of the ways that this then begins to apply to our lives. How do we take this message of the death and resurrection of Christ and think of it for ourselves? So Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 1, this is what we read. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you're not under law, but under grace. This is the word of God. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we come to this passage, as we come face to face with the resurrection, God, would you see how that applies to our lives? Whether we're here, we're in Christ, we've followed Jesus all of our lives, or just a short time, Father, to see how it affects the way that we live day to day. And Father, if we're apart from Christ, that those who don't know him, Father, would know what the possibility that they have that is in Christ for their lives. And so, Lord, speak to us through your text today. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we want to look at the power of possibility, to talk what is newly possible because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus is alive again. He has risen from the dead, and you can be alive again too. It is easy to feel stuck in life. You can feel stuck in your circumstances. You can feel stuck in a marriage, stuck in a job. You can just feel stuck in life. And the resurrection of Jesus shows that you don't have to be stuck. The events of the first Easter, they grow out of a tragedy, the tragedy of Good Friday. On Friday, history tells us that Jesus Christ was crucified at the hands of evil men. He was charged with crimes that he never committed, and he was punished, given death, for even though he had not done anything wrong. Now, these were the plans of evil men, but God had greater plans, and he had a plan that would work through even that evil. That's why we call it Good Friday, because God did something good through it. Jesus died as a substitute for sinners. Jesus died taking on the punishment of his people. They no longer have to fear punishment for their sins. Jesus carried it all. Sin was killed in Christ on the behalf of believers. And if there is any circumstance which would seem final, death would be the most final of all circumstances. And yet, Resurrection Sunday declares to us that Jesus rose from the dead. On Friday and on Saturday, there was a body that was in the tomb. But on Sunday, the tomb was empty. And the fact that Jesus died and rose from the dead, it reminds us that no circumstance is so final that there's not hope in it. Romans chapter 6 is a great passage to consider as we celebrate the resurrection, to press home to us what it is that Jesus did and then how it applies to our lives and how it applies to our lives tomorrow morning and the rest of the year. The first thing that we see in this is how we can be free from the power of sin. I'm going to focus most of our time on verse 11. Verse 11, because it really presses home the significance of the resurrection for us. If you're running slides, I like change everything. So I'll try to do my best. Verse 11, that's where I'm at. And you see when you read verse 11, it says, "So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." Dead to sin, alive to God. The resurrection of Jesus means we can put away the worst parts of our lives and live in the power of God. Let's look at this first part. The first part that says, consider yourselves dead to sin. Now, let's say a person is dead to you. In a lot of ways, that's a very tragic relationship. If someone has ever treated you as if you are dead to them, it could be a grief, sadness, wondering why this relationship broke. And if you ever had to treat a person as if they were dead to you, you know of the serious hurt which happened, which would cause you to make such a serious decision. But let's say that's the case, that a person is dead to you. How do you treat them? You treat them as if they don't exist. You don't call them. You don't answer their calls. You don't text them. You don't answer their texts. You ignore them. If they reach out, you ignore them. You might even block their number. They're dead to you. There's no influence. There is no conversation. Again, when this happens with our family and friends, it's a sad thing. But when it comes to sin, it's a good thing. And that's what's describing here as we read Romans 6, between us and sin. Because of the death of Jesus, we see that sin is dead to us. It should have no more influence over us. There is no more conversation, taking up that phone call, answering that text. The point of the verse is that it is incomprehensible that we could have been freed from sin only to go back to sin. It's because sin is something, it's more than just what we do. I mean, sin is a power over our lives. It's even an enslaving power that keeps us from God. And why would we go back to the things that enslave us? If you look down at verse 5, it describes how this freedom from enslavement happens. Verse 5 says that if we have been united with him in a death like his, this freedom from sin comes through union with Christ. Union with Christ is everything. To be connected by him by faith, that is everything. How are we united? Verse 6 and 7 go on to say what we see. It says, "We know that our old self was crucified with him in order the body of sin might be brought to nothing, that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin." Union with Christ gives us another picture when we imagine Christ is dying there upon the cross. We can imagine our own sinful, old sinful nature hanging there on the cross with Jesus. The sinful nature within every one of us is the power source of sin. It's the part of us that leads us to do the things we shouldn't do, to violate God's law, to ignore what he commands us to do, and to do the things he tells us not to do. It's the power source for sin. And that sinful nature, it had an enslaving power. It was very controlling. When that sinful nature controls us, the only thing that we can do is sin. We cannot not sin. But as we trust in Jesus, that enslavement is taken away as we discover that we don't need sin. This is what Jesus says in John 8:36. John 8:36, he says that he came to set people free. His words are, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. You don't have to give in to sin. Through the death of Jesus, through your union with him and his death, you've been set free. That power source in your life, if you trust in him, has been taken away. So our first point is what we say to sin. Sin, you have no power over me. And it leads to our second point, something we're going to say to ourselves because of the resurrection. We say to self, self, I am alive to God. Back to Romans 6:11. Let me jump back a few verses, starting in verse 8. Romans 6:8, we read this. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe we'll also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. So you must also consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. The resurrection is a historical statement. But what does it mean? What does the resurrection mean? That's where we move from history into theology. There's some true statements about Jesus in that passage. We just read up on the screen there. Since Jesus died, he will never die again. When Jesus was raised, he was raised to eternal life. Lazarus, if you know the story of Lazarus, he would be raised from the dead, but he would one day die again. But not Jesus Christ, who was raised to a glorified body, would ascend into heaven, be present in that body forever and ever, never to face death again. Death seems to have power. Verse 9 says it's a dominion. Dominion means that it has power and control. Once a person goes over into death, there is no coming back. It's a one-way road, and death is its end, so it seems. When a loved one dies, we just want them to come through death. We want to come to life again. Do they really have to be gone? My family saw this week. We had to put our beloved family dog down. And just to see her there, one second having life, vitality, and the next second, just gone. There's a grief. There's a sadness. You just think, oh man, just things can be different. Things can be better. The promise of the resurrection, though, is we live forever in a glorified body. Not like the body we have now, but glorified, somehow made better. As Jesus rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven. He lived forever in that perfect body in a perfect place. And in doing that, he broke through the dominion of death, that power that death has. He broke through the shroud. He did it in coming back into this world. Rising from the dead, showing that death has no power over him. Sin has no power over him. But now the main power is the power of life that is working through him. I want you to think about that a moment. Jesus dwells in life right now, dwelling in full and abundant life in the presence of God. And so if you are united to Christ, then his life is flowing into you. His life is flowing into you, strengthening you for all of your life. And that just as he is loved by God, as you're united to him, you know you are loved by God. The love that he has for his son is that just comes right into you through that union with Christ You can know that you're loved because he loves the Son. The joy that Christ knows through your union with him is a joy that you can know. Through our union with Christ, we become sons of God, heirs with an inheritance and a love and a family. And so that animates this whole new pattern of life. Knowing this life, the life that comes in being united to Jesus, we do good. We're filled with love. We're filled with joy. We walk in God's plans. We walk according to God's purposes. So in this way, Good Friday and Easter, they're both our holidays too, right? It's a holiday for every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, because if you believe in him, you're united to him, something died in you on that Friday. Your sinful nature lost that power. And the Sunday marks the day you found a new power, which is in Jesus. God's power for you is in Christ. Let's look back at verse 11. It says, "So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." So the challenge here is how you think. The key word here is consider. How do you think of yourself? Do you see yourself as someone who has to give in to sin? Or do you see yourself as someone who's alive in the power of God? Do you let that old voice come back, that old influence bring you to sin? Or do you know the voice of God's love and of God's power? Will you keep giving sin control over your life? Will you let your anxieties, your anger, your lust, your passions control you? Or will you let the power of Jesus work in you? Will you do what is right? Will you live in patience and peace? Will you love others and bring joy and peace to others around you? We often live in such defeats. We think that things can never get better. We moan because we have the same sins happen in our lives. We see a repetition of the same problems which we bring in. We ignore those problems and we deny that we've done something wrong. But there is a resurrection power that's in Jesus. Resurrection power for you, resurrection power for me. Again, when we talk about the resurrection, we're talking about an actual historical resurrection of Christ. If you were there on that Sunday morning, you would have found an empty tomb. His body was there on Friday, Saturday, not on Sunday, like I said. Nearly 2,000 years ago, part of that historical record was written down. Body never found. That's because he was raised. He appeared to his followers. If you had a camera there and were to take pictures, you could have taken a picture of him talking with his disciples that day. You could have taken a picture of an empty grave, and even for the next 40 days. Actually, if you would see him now, you could take a picture of him because he still has this body, which has been raised. I mean, this is the ongoing confession of the Christian church. He's risen. He's risen indeed. Chris Garcia at our Sunday school did a great job explaining that. And if you have questions about it, I encourage you, go back to the live stream, go back to our YouTube, and you can follow along. I think it's 8 arguments. And you put them together. Shows the historical resurrection of Christ. Why we believe it. Why we can believe it. That resurrection, if that happened, I mean, that has massive implication to our life. It has massive implication to our beliefs. It gives that final stamp of authority to Jesus and all that he did and he said. It reminds us that we must believe in him. It's not an optional thing for our lives. I believe in the Christian faith because of the resurrection of Jesus. I can't answer every question of the Christian faith. I can't answer every question of the world or everything in it. But one thing I know is that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. What do you need to believe in the Christian faith? Trust in that resurrection. That's why you can believe it. No other spiritual leader has raised from the dead. No other political leader has raised from the dead. Many people have claimed to be messiahs throughout the age of the earth. Maybe they've claimed to be a prophet or some sort of special messenger. But resurrection is that final stamp of authenticity. Every one of those leaders is still in the grave, but not Jesus. He's presently and forever alive. That's why you can believe his message. That's why you can have confidence in the Bible. That's why you can know your sins are forgiven. That's why you can know you can go to heaven to be with him in resurrection. And that means you can be transformed. Because that same resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead is available to us to change us from being under the control of sin and the condemnation of sin to a life that is built on his power, a life of love, powered by his life, his love, a life of joy, powered by his joy. Trust in his love, trust in his power. That's what faith is trusting in God's love, in his grace. How do you do that? You unite to Christ by faith. That's how you know his power. For all of us, as we learn to trust in Christ, we learn new power to love. We have new power to walk in him. There's new power to even to share our faith. It's like when we get a new appliance, what do we have to do to get that new appliance to work? We got to plug it in and to see faith to be transforming, working in us. We plug into Christ. To trust in him and to know the power that comes from him. Here's the thing about God's power, though. It's unlimited, isn't it? I mean, we have such a low view of what God can do inside of our lives. We think we have to follow in certain patterns. But we have access to God's power through faith, even through our union with Christ. You can have hope that you have a life of meaning and purpose. You have hope that you can please God here, today, and now. If we jump down to what verse 14 says, it says, sin will have no dominion over you, none at all, since you're not under law but under grace. This is a story of grace, of unmerited kindness, of unmerited love. It's something that we could never earn, that we could never deserve for ourselves, but something that was given to us. So what's controlling your life? Is there sin controlling your life? Are you ignoring God's commands? Skipping out on worship, failing to pray, living in disrespect, living in anger, living in lust, living in anxiety, lies, discontent. Or are you learning a new power that comes from knowing Jesus? Because as you plug into him, united to him, you'll have endurance, you learn patience, you bloom with joy. And so Easter is not a sentimental holiday like the world wants to say that it is, even dismissing it. Bunnies, Easter eggs, and trivialities. No, it is the declaration of God's victory over sin, his declaration over death, and his declaration of victory over weakness becomes ours through faith. Not something we could do ourselves. Remember, this is a miracle. Right? People don't rise from the dead. This is the miracle of God to raise his son from the dead. And it's a miracle for us that we would see the old sinful nature go away. And we see new life, resurrected life working within us. That's the grace that verse 14 talks about. Now, I especially want to talk to you today, if you're looking for that hope, looking for a hope, but you've never looked to Jesus to find that. Or maybe you separated yourself from Jesus. You know that you heard that there was a power that was in him, but you know, you never really plugged into that power. Maybe even grew up in the church and you never really trusted in Christ to find the power and the hope that you needed to walk with God. Let me encourage you. There's a yellow card inside of your bulletin. If you just take a moment, pull that out. We'll look at that briefly. Everyone, just pull that out and look at that. If we look at that, there are some things the resurrection of Jesus addresses in our lives. First of all, someday all of us will die. And the Bible says we'll face judgment then. How can we know that God will let us into heaven? Every one of us has sinned. None of us deserve heaven. We've done things to sin against God. How would he let those who sin against him into heaven? And yet, what has he done? He's made a way for that to happen. Each of us needs to trust in Jesus by asking him to forgive our sins. His resurrection shows that he has overcome them. Doesn't matter what you've done. What commands you've broken, what sins you've committed, Jesus' death on the cross is enough to take care of that. The resurrection proves that. He was raised from the dead because God has accepted the offering. No more death was required. How can you know you can live forever? By trusting in Jesus. You can know that his resurrection It shows that he lives forever. And it shows that you can too, as you're united to him by faith. So don't let this resurrection day go by without doing something with Jesus. One thing you could do is to consider the message on this card if you have interest in Christ, to know more about what it has, means to have a relationship with him. Maybe you're with a family member. Tell them you'd like to know more about putting your faith in Christ. Maybe you came with a friend. Faith starts with a step, and a step is talking to others, and we can begin that journey together. If you want to know more, we have a little book out in the foyer. At least we did. It may all be gone. The Case for Easter. You can have one of these for free if you have questions about Easter. Why should I believe the resurrection? Why do Christians believe this? Why can I have confidence in that? This real short booklet explains that to you. And if we run out and you want more, we'll get more. Just let me know. But there's a prayer on this card that I want to draw your attention to. So I'm going to read through this. It says, "He is risen. Our Lord Jesus died for us, but he lives for us today, having risen from the dead. It's our prayer that you would know the joy of sins forgiven, the presence of the Lord in your heart, and the hope of new life in Jesus Christ. As the Lord speaks to you today, ask him into your life. And the following prayer may help you." A prayer doesn't save us. Jesus saves us. We express our hope and our trust in prayer to God. So this is a sample prayer that you could pray and consider. It says, "Father in heaven, thank you for loving me more than I could ever imagine. Thank you for your son's life, death, and resurrection for me. Forgive me for my sins, which I have done, and all that I have not done, to honor you as my God. Please come in my life. Take control of the throne of my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, that Christ might live his life through me. In Jesus' name, amen." You know, if you'd like to pray this prayer, we'd like to pray that together with you. You know, this is one of the ways that you can communicate with us. You can give this to me when you leave. You can just contact us, or we have contact email in the bulletin. You could come up and put this in the offering plate if you want. I'll be out the back. I greet people on the way out. I'd love to shake your hand and just to know of a decision. We'd like to help you to grow in these things as you grow in your own faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. There's life in him, freedom from the past, transformation, and new life in the future. And we see the resurrection of Jesus. We also see the power of God available to us. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we do praise you. Thank you, God, for making a way, Father, of life, of eternal life that is in your Son. Father, we look to him. He's the hope to the world, and he's a hope to us. What hope would we have other than he would give himself for us? And Father, for each person here, I pray that each person here would put their full faith and trust in Jesus as their hope, as their salvation, as their strength over sin, and their strength to walk in the way that pleases you, to overcome those addictions and anxieties and sins which so grip us, and to find that in being alive in Christ and his power, there's life to please you, to know joy, to know love, to have a greater purpose than the world says, but a greater purpose which you give to us and created us for. Thank you, God, that you've made a way to do this. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.